This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Another late night for us, Michael, and it was even later because a fan with Michael-like strength decided to break some glass. We had a weird game last night. And it finished in overtime. And a Wah beat a Forsberg. I know you guys already made that joke, but a Wah beat a Forsberg.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Avs are up 2-0. Let's discuss the Colorado Avalanche in just a grimy, kind of nasty game. It felt like for a moment things were going to be fireworks early, but slowed down because that's what the Kings do. Let's talk about it. Let's unpack it. Also, John Weber talked to our guy Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan about the future of the Pac-12, ticket prices, and all that. Whole show starts now. That was an exciting finish to, I mean, yeah, there's going to be a certain type of hockey fans that'll tell you that was a great game. It was a very eventful game. There's 4 million penalties in this game, Michael. You had a fan break some glass. You had the Kings go up 1-0 late in the game. But Marty Natchez found Gabriel Landeskog, and you tie the game. And that was extremely important to get to overtime. But if you're the Kings, you're thinking, hey, man, we've shortened the game. We got this thing to overtime. And maybe we have a chance to win this thing. But the Avalanche are proving they can just win games in different ways. And Scott Wedgwood was incredible. Just incredible last night.
It was the right decision. Well, both goalies,
both
actually.
Goalies Wedgwood, are the best, right?
Forsberg. But it was the right decision to put Wedgwood between the pipes. He was so good. You were right. The best move he made was when he was making a snow angel trying to get to the puck. And he wouldn't have gotten there, but if it weren't for an Avalanche fighting to...
They were bailing him out, too. They were helping him out, too. Yeah, that puck was just hanging there, wasn't it?
It was. Just hanging there. You had an Avalanche knocking a stick away. It was total team effort. This is a great series. I'm actually glad it's against the Kings because I actually secretly like this kind of hockey.
Oh, you
I
do.
Like watching teams hit each other. But as you know, this is how you beat the Avs. You have to play dirty against them. You have to play as Derb said. You have to muck it up. You have to. The Avs love speeding into the zone.
You have to shorten the game. You have to find a way to shorten the game if you're the Kings. And, I mean, the Kings just were not – I think the broadcasters even at one point were like, at some point, you know, the Kings, when do they get aggressive? You know, when do they start really trying to fire it? And they were getting some decent shots. It's just Wedgwood was really, really good. But you're still not seeing, like, this is what is such a great sign. It was a great sign for the Nuggets in Game 1 against Minnesota. They didn't play a good game, yet they still won. I wouldn't say the Avs played a bad game. They're just having to resort to playing this style of hockey that the Kings are going to suck you in to. And that was exactly what happened last night. I thought in the first half of the first period, things were going to open up for the Avs. I mean, they were getting, I mean, they had what? Didn't they have like 10 shots early? It was like 10-1. And I'm thinking, okay, it's only a matter of time until they finally break through this. But credit to the Kings, man. They find ways to, like I say, shorten the game, just survive every single period. But didn't you get the sense, Michael? I mean, I know they go to Los Angeles now, but didn't you get the sense that that was the best shot? And those losses are tough to take when you've done everything right, everything that your script called for as far as keeping it close, shortening the game. You get up late in the mid-third period or so, you're up 1-0, and yet you still lose this thing. Same results as the other night. You still lose this one 2-1 in overtime. I think there has to be a sense of that was our – I don't know if the players will tell you that, but mentally, you know, that's exactly the kind of game you wanted to play, and the Avs come out on top.
If there's a team that it's – gonna let them down, it would be the Kings. If it's the Stars, I don't see that happening. The Stars are a tougher mental team. So if the Stars go down 2-0 and they have two heartbreaking games, I still worry about them. The Kings, they barely got into the playoffs. They had a great run,
yeah. But
they barely got into the playoffs.
It is weird to watch the Kings. Like, how did they get in? You know, when did they score goals? But that's what they do. These are low scoring games that they're going to have, and they're going to find ways just to stay in the game and give themselves an opportunity late. But you have an Avalanche team, and there's so many great stories surrounding the Avs, Mike. I mean, obviously we've talked about Gabe and his triumphant story. Nathan MacKinnon is a national treasure of a story. So is Cale Makar, but Scott Wedgwood. I mean, from rags to riches, man. This is his first two playoff starts, and he's 2-0. And he's finding ways to come up with these monster stops. That penalty shot that Byfield had, I mean, even the commentators mentioned it. He had him. He had Wedgwood, it seemed like. But somehow, Wedgie stretches across and makes that save. He had a lot of those last night. And then you have a fan breaking glass. Like, was that in the second period?
That was early second. Those two were the only like plays that I missed. They were both so cool. Like, I came back and it was a delay, and I'm like,
dude, there was
delay.
Glass.
What happened?
There was glass everywhere, and it got all over the Kings coach, and it was all over him. I mean, I don't know. They had like they went to the studio, and the fellows were talking about, this is gonna be a 30-minute delay. I'm thinking, my gosh, dude. And it wasn't a 30-minute delay. It was like 13.
More like 19.
Oh, was it? Was it 19? It was still long delay, Mike. I'm under the impression we just won't sleep until, well, we can sleep tonight, you know. That's exciting. But tomorrow we're right back at it because we've got both teams, 7:30 and 8 on a critical Thursday. Critical Thursday for both because, you know, if you want the Avs to make short work of the Kings and rest up a little bit before they take on the Wild or the Stars, then, you know, it'd be nice to go ahead and steal one of those on the road. And then obviously we know how crucial it is for the Nuggets in Game 3 after what we witnessed in Game 2. So we needed that from the Avs. The Rockies lost 1-0 at Coors Field. Tanner said this only happened a handful of times, 4 times or so, that where they have lost 1-0 at Coors Field. I mean, yeah, they lose plenty of times at Coors Field, but they usually put up some runs, and so the Rockies were, you know, offensively not fantastic, but pitching was great. Chase Dolander was fantastic. So it was a mixed bag of a night, but we really needed the Avs to pull one off for us, as gloomy as it was on this show yesterday to start this thing yesterday.
Yeah, offensively not great for Colorado yesterday, but positive for the Rockies. I mean, remember when they lost 21-0 to San Diego? The second time a Colorado team has lost to a San Diego team, 21-0.
No,
not happening again. This pitching staff's
they're competitive in 90% of their games so far, and that's growth. That's what you want to see. So those, I know there's still the pundits, there's still the Rockies fans out there that or lack thereof fans. I don't know. That are just looking for every opportunity to be critical. This is about what we expected. I think it's a little more, maybe, than what we expected with this team. So, fun night last night. I think Bednar obviously made the right call. The next question, again, we're going to keep doing this, Mike. You keep riding the hot hand, don't you? I mean, it's Wedgwood. You keep going Wedgwood until he gets a loss, but then I don't know if mentally you want to play that game with your goalie either. So you don't want to say, hey, as soon as you lose, you know, it's going to be Blackwood time. I'm not sure you want to do that, but it's going to be hard to convince the team and a fan base that, you know, anyone other than Wedgwood at this point wouldn't give you the best shot, even though Blackwood's pretty damn good, too. They're both amazing. So it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I'd say keep going with Wedgwood. The only time you go with Blackwood is if Wedgwood is hurt, if Wedgwood needs a night, or if he just has like a really bad game. And I'm not talking about he gives up four goals. Like, I'm talking about four goals, and they're easy goals to stop. Like, it's, you've seen it from the blue line. You see it coming, and you just flat out and like, no.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. This is a great opportunity for the Avs to really put the stranglehold on this first round, get the win tomorrow, and feel really, I mean, man, it'd be great if we could get both teams winning. If Denver can win tomorrow, first game in Minnesota, I think suddenly the narrative switches and you're feeling a lot better about the Nuggets winning their first round. And if the Avs can go up 3-0, then yeah, I think that all but seals this thing in that first round. Colorado is 17-2 in playoff series when taking a 2-0 lead since relocating to Denver before the 95-96 season. On the flip side of that, Los Angeles is 3-12 in postseason series when facing an 0-2 hole. So everything's pointing to easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl here for the Colorado Avalanche in this first round, because we know that second round is going to be another dogfight. It's going to be a battle. Like, this series is a dogfight, but the Avs are doing enough to win the game. They could sweep the Kings, and the Kings could maybe still walk away holding their heads up high because they're giving them everything they can handle in these games, but you could still sweep this series.
We all know it's going to be Dallas and Colorado. Yeah. I know Dallas struggled in game one, but it's going to be Dallas and Colorado. Dallas is better than Minnesota. I am rooting for Minnesota because I hate Dallas so much. I want them to be humiliated and knocked out in the first round. But it's going to be Dallas and Colorado. And
then get ready. Then get ready for stress. Yeah, stress.
It's going to be a revenge.
Well, that's the plan. Also interesting last night, the Portland Trail Blazers beat the San Antonio Spurs in game two, which everyone, you know, thought for sure the Spurs might sweep the Blazers. Well, Victor Wembanyama goes down hard. His head bounced off the hardwood like three times. He had to leave the game because of a concussion. He's under concussion protocol, which is different than the NFL's. It's not a week. It's like 48 hours. So he could potentially still play in game three. You don't root for injuries. You take advantage of injuries. The fact the Blazers got one ensures this isn't going to be a sweep and a quick series for the Spurs. So at one more game added at the expense of a guy getting hurt, and you don't want to see that. Was scary looking. I mean, Wimby's head, seriously. I've never quite seen that, Mike. Last night was a night of things I've never quite seen. I've never seen a fan break glass like that in a hockey game. I've never seen a dude hit the ground like that and his head just bounces like a basketball. So the Trailblazers take advantage of that, and they win 106-103 to even the series at one apiece. So strange way to get it, but they got it, and that series is guaranteed not to be a quick one, a sweep of the Trailblazers. So that's actually a good sign for the Denver Nuggets, assuming they can pull it out and win the series against Minnesota. I mean, there's still a lot of things up in the air. We got a lot to unpack today, Michael. John Weber sat down with Kevin Lytle talking about the expansion of the Pac-12, the urgency for CSU and the Pac-12 to make a mark. I think there is urgency for the Pac-12, Michael. They need to make a mark. They need to prove that they're not only good in their non-conference situations, but they're exciting. They got an exciting brand of football, because we're talking about playoff expansion, but there's also stuff that we talked about yesterday. The idea is growing of a G6 playoff, of a G6 only playoff, which obviously would leave the Pac-12 out of the CFP, which is what this whole thing has been about. The whole reason you are jumping to the Pac-12 was to get a legitimate shot at the CFP. So all that and more, we'll get to it. More Avalanche stuff for you later on in the program. Sean Keeler, we've got Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. He had a good piece about the Avs overcoming everything last night. He says overcoming blind refs, shattered glass, and the Avs find a way to beat the Kings and go up 2-0. So exciting program for you here today. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's a fun time, isn't it, Michael? You know what else is a fun time? Watching the games at Big City Roadhouse. They're in the old location where Cables used to be. And, man, you guys have heard me talk all about them and what they've been up to. We love it. We had one of our March Madness watch parties there, and it was such a great time. It's a fun, energetic, casual atmosphere with a true Roadhouse feel. The pizzas are amazing. I love the burgers. I love the specialty items they're doing. People are raving about the fish and chips. We might go over there tomorrow, so that might be the plan. I love it. It's a great place. It's my go-to. It's my favorite restaurant, Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. And Mother's Day, they've got this breakfast buffet they're doing. All-you-can-eat wings, a complimentary mimosa for mom. So check out Big City Roadhouse. Follow them on Facebook or just call Big City Roadhouse and reserve your time and take mom out somewhere perfect because she's put up with you for a very long time. So you should treat her right at Big City Roadhouse.
Too bad it's not a double complimentary mimosa. Because it would not only be a complimentary one, but it would be one that's like, hey, you're a great mother.
Mm.
We just come to life and start spewing compliments.
I don't think we need that. I don't think we need that, Mike. Man, I forgot how exhausting and exhilarating the playoffs are.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me.
You're just exhausting. But, I mean, everything about this game last night... Yeah, like you liked this style. You like the Kings style of hockey, huh?
I just like seeing
people
be rough and hit each other all the time.
Are the Kings the Air Force Falcons of hockey?
Kinda.
Like they're not necessarily good all the time. They're just good in one particular area, and they're gonna force you to play a different. I mean, we know that teams that play them, that play Air Force, have to basically change how they play defense for 1 week. Like, teams don't love to play Air Force because of that triple option. So you're not guarding many teams that do that. So you have to kind of change your style of play for 1 week. You know, I've always heard for CSU in the past, when they have a bye week, they spend some of that bye week, even though Air Force isn't the next opponent, installing some of the stuff that they're going to utilize against Air Force. So, yeah. So I get where you're coming from. Because I said this yesterday, like, I like watching Air Force. It's not a really exciting brand of football for most football fans that like to watch quarterbacks air it out. But I enjoy it. So you're telling me you kind of like this rough and tough. They're going to hit hard. They got 6'6" dudes out there. Who's the Kings guy? The 6'6"? He's freaking ginormous. His dad played for several years. I think he was an Avalanche too. I can't think of his name right off the top of my bat, but it's right off the top of my head. It's weird seeing a 6'6" hockey player. They're just monsters.
Especially in this day where you don't have enforcers anymore.
Yeah. The Kings kind of have some of that, don't they? I mean, the fourth line comes in and they try to bring Cale Makar out and, you know, mess him up. And I think the broadcasters were pointing that out too. Cale, you can't let them get to you, man. You don't want Cale, you know, getting into an altercation.
With the Kings guy, I think it was during the postponement. The guy was like, "Yeah, you can't ride a bicycle on the highway." It's like, yeah, if you're gonna keep your head down, someone's gonna knock it off if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, they're rough and tough, man. They're definitely going to bring you in to their style of play, and it's just a matter of can you change how you're playing the game for one series. Do you think we're going to have a breakout game for the Avs, or is this kind of how this series is going to go? Avs are going to maybe win a game like 1-0, maybe win another game like 2-1 again or 2-0. So much for my 4-1 predict. I got the one right with the Kings, but I would expect more of the same.
I mean, I think if the Kings are going to steal one from the Avs, it's going to be in L.A. My prediction has always been they would win game four. I think that even though the Avalanche have had the most success against any team in the last 5 years, it's been against the Kings. Stanley Cup playoffs are just different. I expect every one of these games to be close. If the Avs win by two goals, they're not going to win by three, I don't think. If they win by two goals, a lot of times it might be just an empty netter.
After watching that one, especially that one, because I thought maybe they'd open up a little bit last night. But I guess I wouldn't be shocked if the Kings do steal one. Not steal one, but take one at home. Because, again, if you can keep it close going into the third, or even scoreless going into the third, you give yourselves a hell of a shot. So, I mean, I just wonder where the goals are going to come from. But
now you've got a... This is a good warm-up because you know you're playing Dallas, and Dallas is just a very good version of Los Angeles.
That can score a little bit.
Dallas plays rough and dirty, and they have no soul, but they also have offense.
Well, we know that's probably coming. What's the series for Dallas and Minnesota right now?
They're tied 1-1.
Tied 1-1.
I believe they play tonight.
Okay. Well, you know, Mike, all we can do is continue to not sleep and stay up and watch these games. You got to actually watch the game last night. That's exciting.
I did, yes.
Why do you think that glass broke? Was it weak glass or strong fan?
There was probably some kind of crack in the glass that they hadn't seen.
Man, you'd think there'd be a rule about banging against the glass behind the bench.
They can't do that.
No, but it's
you
like
can't.
That.
No, you can't tell them not to do that.
Well, why? You're destroying
because
our property.
It's anti-hockey.
I know it's part of it, but what if you're like behind the bench? You don't do it.
No.
Okay. It's hockey. Hockey guy here. You're hockey guy. No, you're good with just shattering glass and spraying it all over a coach and getting glass down the back of his suit. He's going to have to go shower and get it all out of there. You're good with that. You're good with endangering the entire team. I don't know how you would say.
The Stars and the Wild play tonight. That'll be 7:30.
Oh, good.
On TNT and True TV. And I don't know. It might be streaming on HBO Max.
I don't care.
I'm going to try that.
I don't care about HBO Max. I actually have regular TV like a normal person. So
I might watch tonight.
I
don't have enough money.
I might go to sleep early tonight, actually. That might be a good plan because Thursday's going to be another late one. Swami, Brady is now a part of the No Fun League. I don't know. I just thought if I'm that coach in that moment, I'm kind of like, what the hell are you doing, man? The fan just probably sat right back down once they cleaned it up.
You know, all those players were like, no, it's part of hockey.
I know. Hockey's a different beast, and I understand that. But it doesn't happen. When's the last time you've seen somebody break the glass? Like, that's not a player.
I've never seen that happen. I've only seen it happen with slap shots and checks. Like, I've never seen that.
No.
There had to be maybe the glass was installed wrong, or maybe there was a crack that they didn't see.
And you get why they were so pumped, because that was on the penalty shot. Byfield, that was a hell of a move he made. Scott Wedgwood just made a better move to save it, and the crowd's going, absolutely crazy for it. I mean, makes sense.
There were times they were saying Wedgie, Wedgie, and like he didn't even do anything. They would just randomly cheer for him.
Yeah,
that's how much he's loved. He should be the one with the bigger contract.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No offense.
Has he got another year left, or is this the only year on his contract? Yeah, check that out for me. Because you got to think that's in the works. It's a great combo. And it's weird because Blackwood's a hell of a goalie, too, and could be starting for a lot of teams in the NHL or getting more consistent starts. But when you have a pairing like that, it's a hell of a luxury to have.
He is making $2.5 million through next season.
Okay, so he's got next year. So they're probably going to negotiate with him in the offseason. And he's going to get money.
He's going to make some money.
He's going to get paid. How much is he making right now?
$2.5 million for that one-year extension.
Yeah, he's
going to
be.
And that was on November 13th of last year.
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
Like, yeah, how much are we talking? No doubt.
He'll get up to triple that. Triple that.
Quadruple.
Maybe get him up around 7 mil or so. 7 or 8 million. So he's earning himself pretty sweet upgrade, pretty sweet pay raise coming up in this offseason. And yeah, he's absolutely earned it. And he's a fan favorite. Good for the Avs. Good for the Avs to get this one last night. That was a much needed victory for us, Mike.
The average NHL goalie is making approximately $3.5 million a year. Starters often command $7 million to $11.5 million.
How much is Blackwood making?
Let's check.
Yeah, why don't you check that out for me? Because that's the question. Can you afford to have two high-paid goalies? Or do you have to... You have to say goodbye to one of them.
Blackwood signed a 5-year, $26.25 million contract.
26?
Yeah, $26.25 million.
Yeah.
So that is...
So he's getting around five.
An average of over $5 million a year.
So maybe you could get...
That's through 29-30 season.
I don't know if you could get Wedgwood on a deal, if you can keep him around five mark. He's not going to get more than Blackwood, is he?
No, Blackwood. So. Blackwood is. Yeah, you're not going to be able to get him for a deal. He's gone. Someone else is going to pick him up after next year.
You're not going to have both next year, right? You're not going to have both these guys next year, are you?
He's
you're under contract,
next year.
But you're not going to go in. Do you go into the off season and or to go into next season with Wedgwood on a 1-year deal? I'm not so sure.
No, I don't think you can. I really don't think you can. Trade fodder?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, if you really need someone, if you really need another defenseman, or you need another Cale Makar, but, you know, not nearly as good as Cale Makar, trade him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a realistic
right
conversation. Yeah, it really is. 36 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, the Rockies lose last night to the Padres 1-0, but pitching has, I mean, I guess it's just interchangeable. There's been great nights of hitting, and there's been, I think, a lot of positives with the pitching staff and the way they're doing things. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up next. 36 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Rockies had three hits last night at Coors Field. So not great, but Chase Dolander was very good. Pitched in six innings, only allowed three hits and one earned run. Had nine strikeouts. Chase Dolander's becoming He's becoming, as the Rocky said earlier this season, the plan was to get Chase Dolander to building toward the best version of himself. And that's what he did last night. I want to tell you guys about Interior Sprinkler Systems for fire suppression and safety. Check out Interior Sprinkler Systems at interiorsprinkler.com. Sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher inspection, kitchen hoods, paint booths, fire alarms. They'll make sure everything you got is as safe as it can possibly be. That's Interior Sprinkler Systems at interiorsprinkler.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, John Weber talked with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. We'll get more on this conversation tomorrow when Kevin's on the show with us. But they kind of went into talking about the importance and the urgency for CSU and the Pac-12 to make a mark. You know, Kevin asked the question, is there a sense among Pac-12 members that it's particularly important for a new-look league to find early national success? And Weber said, quote, absolutely, we're very focused that we remain highly competitive, regardless of who we're playing and regardless of the sport, quite frankly. There's a lot to look forward to. There's some really quality institutions in that membership. I do, you know, they're doing this. They didn't add that other member to their football, onto the football side, because Gonzaga's basketball only. So they're doing that flex schedule at the end at the end of the season. And I don't know. It's unorthodox, but I'm kind of curious about it. Basically flexing the more important games to see what would make more sense or better sense for the eventual Pac-12 champ or the championship games to give whoever that is a better shot to get into the playoffs. Basically, if you got a team that's on the verge or on the cusp and they're playing a lesser team in the Pac-12, they would potentially be able to flex that schedule so they play a better team in the Pac-12 to increase their chances and their standings and their rankings. Not standings, but rankings. I kind of like it. It's I don't know how long they'll keep doing this, but I do kind of like it. I mean, Mike, if I asked you to give me a percentage chance that this G6 standalone playoff thing is a real possibility, meaning the Pac-12 wouldn't be really considered into the CFP, what percentage chance would you give that right now? That this would happen in 5 years? 5, 10 years?
50-50.
Really? That's better than I thought you were going to say.
I'm an optimist today. The Avs won.
Oh, good job. Thank you for that. Yes, they did. We discussed that. I just think now you've got Congress and you've got athletic directors speaking about it a little bit more, and that's the part that kind of worries me. Although yesterday was kind of interesting because Greg Sankey did, and the SEC did kind of give their blessing for the 2014 playoff. So that's a possibility. The SEC came in and released a statement in support of the NCAA, and they basically just kind of said, yeah, the 2014 thing is not bad. The Southern Conference came in and released a statement in support of the tournament expansion. They had a few interesting principles that they threw out, Michael. Here's the principles from the Southern Conference's proposal. Significantly increase access. The NCAA Transformation Committee established that approximately 25% of teams should participate in postseason championships. Just under 23% of 282 schools participated in March Madness when the tournament expanded to 64 teams in 1985. Today, 18.6 of Division I schools participate. Critically, expansion must preserve automatic qualification for all conferences. Now, that's against your wishes, but this is exactly what I want to see. Participation from all conferences. You're going to get blowouts, but I think eventually this could be good for college football. And you're against that.
I'm against it because you're going to have a lot of blowouts, and I don't think it's going to help very much.
It's either that, Mike, or you go or you shift it back and you just say, no, G6, you've got your own thing. That's what you do. That's where I think we're flirting right now. We're flirting on the line of whether or not to really include the other conferences outside of the Power Four, or to just shove them into a box and have them do their own thing. Me personally, being a fan of CSU and Wyoming and Air Force, I'm a fan of the teams we cover here, or we follow here. Me personally, I like the ideas that they all have a seat at the table, but a realistic seat at the table. I've said for years I thought it'd be kind of cool to see a conference representative from every conference in this thing. And I just wonder if that wouldn't, by chance, spread out, you know, guys transferring where it's like, I'm a third string D tackle at Ohio State. I'm never going to play. I'm making money, but is it about money? Is it about play? And for the guys that it's about play, it's like, well, I could go to CSU and be a starter and we go win our conference and maybe we got a shot, or we do have a shot to get into the college football playoffs. They also threw out transparency in principle number three, the Southern Conference. Schools spending millions of dollars annually on their basketball programs shouldn't have to speculate about the math informing selection metrics. The net is the committee's foundational resource to rank teams, establish quadrants, and determine the cut line in the wins above bubble. Unfortunately, the net calculations remain unknown, describing its formulas as too complicated. Yeah, that's something too where I think we want to. I want it to be more transparent how they're coming up with this, how we're figuring out both basketball and football, how we're going through the rankings, because we've heard so many of these people that have actually been vocal about why they're moving a team up or down, and then a lot of it's trash. We had one woman that came on last year that moved a team up after a loss and a team down after a win. And the win was the win was more significant than the loss, and I don't remember who that was, but she was transparent.
It was the Florida team, though.
It was the Florida team. She was transparent, and I like that. At least let us know that way we can all determine whether or not you have a faulty system in there, and people that are voting should not be allowed to vote.
See, I think it should be a points system, and that's one thing that I, in my solution, was trying to come up with. Is okay. A certain type of win gets a certain type of points. A certain type of loss gets a certain type of points. Whether if you blow out a team and it's a legit blowout and not a we're running up the score, it depends on who you play. You get a certain number of points. Like, it should be transparent. We should know, okay, this we think if the game happens this much. If they blow them out by three scores, then we know, oh, they're going to move up 5 points, arbitrary number.
Yeah. But we need to have reasons tagged to – I think there should be reasons tagged to why a team moved up or down.
Like,
you look at your rankings, and then off to the side, you have a bullet point picture of this team beat this team, and the teams above them lost to this team or didn't perform well against this team. Therefore, we've moved this team up.
Rotten Tomatoes has a consensus. You know, each individual reviewer has the ability to say what they want to say. But, like, it takes a consensus about the movie. They should kind of do that. Here's the consensus of about the 150 people judging this.
Yeah. I think a summary would actually be really interesting. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we have our clip of the day. Adam Silver at it again, really going all in on something. And Sean Keeler, we've got Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post. Sean Keeler, excited about that conversation. All things Colorado Avalanche with Sean today. Maybe a little nugget sprinkled in if we have the time. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman. Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back into the whole show. Foundation Sports Nutrition is a new locally owned nutrition supplement business and storefront here in Greeley. They've got all the great supplements that you could look for. You know, whether you're into the protein game, the vitamins, just eating right. You know, they got nutrition consultations that they're doing, plans, seminars. And I'm telling you, parents that are listening, that have kids that are playing sports, and you're wanting them to play at the best level possible, where they're having the most fun and getting the most out of it. You know, maybe they're taking this thing really seriously, and they want to be top-notch during their, you know, whatever it is, their junior high, their high school runs. They've got the right stuff there for you, different proteins to get them going, get them in the right shape so they can make the most out of their playing days. That's Foundation Sports Nutrition. Right here in Greeley. Give them a follow on Facebook. Just search Foundation Sports Nutrition or Instagram. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up in the next hour, Michael, we'll hit top stories of the day. Some football news, some basketball news, all of it. We'll be excited to get to that on our top stories. Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.